My name is Barb. We're going to hear from the Word of God, from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem.
All right, am I on? Very good. Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Brendan. Thank you, John. Thank you, the music team, for leading us thus far. And if you haven't met me before, my name's Tim, and it's my privilege to fill a bit of a gap in the preaching roster this morning with all of our elders and our pastors up at Alkamos. And I wanted to say that again. All of our pastors and our elders are up at Alkamos. We are going to have a great time this morning and hopefully get up to a bit of mischief that no one will ever know. In fact, Uwe, could you turn off the live stream? Let's keep this behind closed doors. No, it is a great privilege and joy to be with you this morning. Well, I want to start by talking about a man by the name of William Borden. I think we've got a photo. There he is. William Borden, or Bill, as his friends called him, was a Christian who lived about 130 years ago. And he was born into an incredibly wealthy American family. And as a young man, Bill felt a strong call to become a missionary. And so when he graduated from Yale University, he turned down many high-paying job offers, and he also refused to take over the family business. And instead, he set his sights on becoming a missionary to a Muslim people group in China. But before he did that, he had to do some further studies. And so he set sail for Cairo in Egypt to do further work in Islam and Arabic. But here's the tragedy of this story. Only 3 months after arriving in Egypt, Bill Borden got incredibly sick with spinal meningitis. And within 3 months, he was dead at the age of 25. He never made it to China. And as news of this filtered back to the United States, it became a national story in the media. And the resounding question that was asked by journalists and all sorts of people was this: was it worth it? Was this a waste of such a promising young life? Now, did you notice that the same question comes up in our passage today? Mary of Bethany pays a huge cost to worship Jesus. And Judas asks the question, was it worth it? Now, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you're thinking to yourself, well, Tim, of course it's worth it. Paying a cost to follow Jesus is just what we do. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why? Why is the cost of following Jesus worth this expensive perfume? Why is it worth the price of a young life? How do we explain it? Well, that's the question we're going to grapple with as we open up this text together. But before we do that, can I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is alive. Thank you that it's active. And thank you that it speaks into our very circumstances. Thank you for this inspiring story of Mary of Bethany. Lord, challenge us this morning, I pray, on the cost that we need to be willing to pay to follow you. As we study this passage, I pray that your Holy Spirit would grow in us a deep conviction as well, that no matter what the cost, you are always worth it. Guide us, we pray this morning. Amen. Okay, so the sermon that we're looking at this morning is a continuation of our series in the book of John. And we had a bit of a break last week with Glenn Scrivener. But a couple of weeks before that, do you remember that Pastor Grant, oh, not Pastor, I've given him a promotion, Grant Taylor opened up John chapter 11, where we looked at that famous passage where Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the one who can give us eternal life. And then he proves that, doesn't he, by raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, because of this, many of the Jews at the time start putting their trust in Jesus. And that enrages the Jewish leaders. And so that led on to Pastor Grant's sermon, where he looked at the second half of John chapter 11. And what did we see there? We saw the Jewish leaders plotting to kill Jesus. Do you remember that? They convened a session of the Sanhedrin and issued a warrant for Jesus' arrest. And so John chapter 11 finishes with Jesus and his disciples going into hiding for their own safety. And so that's kind of the broad context that we're at as we come to John chapter 12. So let's read verse 1 together to set the scene. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, there's a crucial time marker here, because John tells us that this is the final week of Jesus' life, 6 days before Passover. And so John is now shifting the focus of his narrative from the life and the ministry of Jesus to the events leading up to the cross. And so everything from this point onwards is focused on Calvary. And we see here that in light of that, Jesus comes out of hiding and he makes his way to Jerusalem to ultimately surrender to be killed. But on the way, he stops in a place called Bethany, the same place that he raised Lazarus from the dead. So let's see what happens. Read verse 2. Here in Bethany, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. So here in the town of Bethany, we find that there's a dinner party going on. This is a dinner to honor Jesus. I think most likely to honor Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead. And at this party, we see that there's Lazarus, there's Jesus, and there's also Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, jump down to verses 9 to 11 with me. We're just going to skip over a bit because this is really interesting. It gives us a bit more context of what's going on here. Read with me, verse 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. And so we kind of see a bit of a repetition from the end of chapter 11, don't we? As more and more Jews come and see the risen Lazarus, they believe in Jesus. And so this enrages the Jewish leaders even more, doesn't it? So now not only do they want to kill Jesus, but they want to kill Lazarus as well. And I don't want to be too harsh, but these Jewish leaders are not exactly the smartest tools in the shed, are they? I mean, what's the point of killing someone who's just been risen from the dead? He's just going to do it again, isn't he? And so it doesn't really make much sense, but that's the context that we find at this dinner. Now, I want to suggest that there's kind of one big main idea that we see come through this passage, and it's this, that the cost of following Jesus is always worth it because blank. That's the main point of our sermon this morning, and we're going to unpack that together, so please follow along in your sermon outline, and you'll have to wait till the end to see what the blank section is. So hopefully that's incentive enough not to doze off. Our main point tonight that we're going to unpack together is that the cost of following Jesus is always worth it because blank. Now, I want to suggest firstly and foremostly that this passage challenges us that following Jesus should cost us something. Did you notice that Mary paid a high cost to worship Jesus? And I think she did this in two ways. Firstly, I think Mary paid a significant financial cost to worship Jesus here. Let's read verses 3 to 5. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." John gives us so much detail here, doesn't he? We could almost picture ourselves reclining with Jesus and Lazarus at the table. And suddenly Mary of Bethany walks over, completely unannounced, and she pours out this bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet. And this is not some of those cheap celebrity fragrances that you pick up from Chemist Warehouse for 20 bucks. No, this is the expensive stuff. This was spikenard, or nard for short. This was an expensive oil that was imported from India on camelback. And John tells us that this is spikenard in its pure, unrefined, expensive form. Judas tells us that this perfume was worth about 300 denarii. That's what your translation might say, or perhaps if you've got the NIV, I think it helpfully paraphrases it by saying that this perfume was worth about an annual salary for a minimum wage worker at the time. My best guess is that this perfume is worth about 50,000 Australian dollars. And Mary doesn't just spray a bit of the perfume on Jesus, does she? No, she seemingly pours the whole thing, all 450 millilitres, over Jesus' feet. So much so that John says that the sweet aroma of this perfume not only fills the room, but it fills the whole house. And no doubt it lingers for days, maybe weeks. This is an extraordinary cost to Mary, isn't it? Financially, this was perhaps everything that she had. But secondly, I think that Mary also pays a significant social cost here as well. Because you see, back in those days, a woman's hair was almost seen as her crown and glory. It was something to be tied up and let down only in the presence of her husband. And so for a woman to let down her hair was highly inappropriate in public. But that's not all. Mary uses her hair to do what? To wipe Jesus' feet. I'm sure many of you would be familiar that back in this time, washing someone's feet was the lowest form of labor. It was reserved for the lowest slave in the household. And that's why Jesus, in just a few hours, is going to teach his disciples about humility by doing what? By washing their feet. So do you see what Mary's doing here? She pours out all this perfume and she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. And in effect, she's saying to Jesus, "My most valuable possessions, this bottle of perfume and my hair, they are only worthy enough to touch your feet. The greatest part of me is only worthy enough to touch the lowest part of you. This is an extraordinary example, isn't it? Of costly, humble, extravagant, and loving devotion to Jesus. And I think John holds out this example of Mary for us kind of like a mirror. And so here's the question. Do we follow Jesus like this? And more specifically, when we follow Jesus, does it cost us something? Just like it cost Mary. Just like it cost Bill Borden. As Brendan has said, this morning we've got a church members meeting a bit later today. And I'm not sure if you've had the chance to read Pastor Grant's report, but Pastor Grant speaks about something quite scary. He talks about the fact that we might need to buy a property up in Alkimos to support the church plant. And this sort of property is not cheap, is it? We're talking somewhere like $5, $10 million, maybe more. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Imagine how many foreign missionaries we could support with that. Imagine how many pastor salaries we could pay with that. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we should be wasteful as a church. Not at all. We should be careful and considered. But here's the challenge. As a church, are we willing to support the Alkimos church plant so that it costs us something? Potentially so that it costs us even quite a bit. And not because we have to. No, because we love Jesus. Just like Mary here, as a church, do we love Jesus so much that we're willing to pour out our resources in abundance so that people in the north of Perth can come to know Christ? This passage is challenging, isn't it? Okay, let's come back to our main idea today. We're saying that the cost of following Jesus is always worth it because blank. Now, I'm sure you'd agree that the cost of Mary's devotion was a lot. But was it worth it? Interestingly, we're not the only ones asking this question. Look with me in verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth about a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Now, here's a question for us. Do we sometimes fall into the trap that Judas does here? Do we sometimes judge and criticize other Christians who pay a high cost to follow Jesus? And you know, I must confess, I've fallen into this trap sometimes. At North Beach, we have some wonderful mission partners, people who we support to take the gospel overseas. And many of them take their families into very difficult countries. And I know that in the quietness of my heart, I'd never say it out loud, of course, but in the quietness of my heart, I've asked these questions. What about their kids? What about their safety? What about their health, their education, their future careers? How much is all of this costing? Surely it's not worth it. Now, I'm not saying some of these questions aren't important to ask. But the problem is they're none of my business. It's up to the missionaries and their missionary agencies to wrestle with these things. Do you sometimes fall into this trap? Maybe in other ways. If so, I think there's two warnings that we can take from this passage. And the first warning is in verse 6. Did Judas really care about the poor? No. John tells us that he was a betrayer and a thief. He wanted to take some of the $50,000 for himself. That's why he didn't want Mary to pour it out on Jesus. So here's the warning. In this area, our judgment is so often corrupted by our own sin, isn't it? When I criticize our mission partners, is it a genuine concern? Or is it because I'm jealous or proud or arrogant? Maybe I feel spiritually inferior when I compare myself to them. Actually, the fact that I am criticizing them might in and of itself be a sign that I haven't paid enough of a cost to follow Jesus in my own life. That's the first warning. But there is a second, and I think far more serious warning, which comes from Jesus himself. Read the start of verse 7 with me. Just three words. Leave her alone. Jesus' point is plainly simple, isn't it? Stop. Back off. Enough. Friends, if we judge our fellow believers for the cost that they pay to follow Christ, it's simple. We need to repent and we need to stop. Okay, let's come back to our main idea today. We're saying that the cost of following Jesus is always worth it because blank. And we still haven't answered the big question, have we? Why is this cost worth it? Well, I think a small part of the reason is in verse 8. Let's read verses 7 and 8 again, just to get the context. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So why should Judas back off? Well, because in this moment, Mary's devotion to Jesus is more important than the needs of the poor. Now, it's really important we understand what Jesus isn't saying here. He isn't saying that the poor don't matter. In fact, he's actually alluding to Deuteronomy chapter 15, which you might see in your footnotes. And Deuteronomy chapter 15 is a passage in the Old Testament where God specifically commands the Israelites to care for the poor. And you only need to read the Gospels for 5 minutes to see Jesus' heart for the poor and the marginalized. But here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that Mary's act of worship is time critical. You see, the poor will always be there. And Judas, you can give to the poor at any time. But Mary's only got another week. I'm only here for another 7 days. And this is her last chance to worship me. And so on that basis, the cost of her devotion is worth it. And I think in a slightly different sense, this is true for us as well, isn't it? Serving Jesus is a time-critical thing. There are people who are facing an eternity in hell unless they trust in Christ. And so the cost of the gospel and the cause of the gospel, rather, is urgent, isn't it? And so I think that's part of the reason, at least, why the cost of following Jesus is worth it. But I think this passage gives us a bigger reason. A bigger reason to the why question. So let's ask it again. Why is the cost of following Jesus always worth it? Well, read verse 7 again. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Now, I must confess, Jesus' words here are very puzzling. Your translation might say something very different to what's on the screen. And that's because there is quite a debate among biblical scholars about exactly what Jesus means here. But even though there is that uncertainty, I think what we can be clear about is the main point that Jesus is making. Look at verse 7 again. At the very least, verse 7 tells us that Mary's act of worship points us to the cross. Did you see that? Jesus' upcoming death and burial was part of the reason, at least, why Mary poured out this perfume on him. And so here's the key. Mary was honoring Jesus for the cost that he would pay for her. We're onto something here, aren't we? As we read about this costly act of Mary to worship Jesus, John lifts our eyes and points us to the one who paid the ultimate cost for us. Think about the context of this story in the Gospel of John. Verse 1 tells us that he is now what? Focusing his attention on Calvary, right? And so this is the first story he tells as a foreshadow or a precursor to the cross. The cost that Mary pours out here over Jesus is just a taste of what Jesus is going to do on the cross for you and I as he pours out the cost of his own life. So our big idea is complete, isn't it? If you've got a pen, you can write it in. Here it is. The cost of following Jesus is always worth it. Why? Because Jesus paid the ultimate cost for us. Have you ever asked yourself if the cost of following Jesus is worth it? Have you ever wondered if one day you might regret the cost that you paid? Maybe you have served Jesus in some way and it has cost you and it hasn't worked out for some reason. And maybe you're wondering whether you've wasted your effort or your resources. I know I have. And can I speak a bit more candidly? I've wondered that in the context of serving here at North Beach. And I know that I'm amongst many who serve the Lord so faithfully here in this church. You give your time and your money and your energy, and you miss out on the things that you could have bought or spent time with if you had not otherwise used that here. Have you wondered whether it's all worth it? Have you wondered whether you're going to regret the cost that you've paid? I mean, let's be devil's advocate for a minute. Is all this effort that we pour out here, is it really making any difference? I mean, we come to church every week and we see a whole bunch of vacant seats. We always seem to struggle to find enough volunteers to help. There always seems to be people leaving our church. And now we've lost some of our best people to the church in Alkimos. Honestly, if it weren't for all the South Americans, I think we'd be stuffed, wouldn't we? And I think I could have quite easily put in South Africans there as well, but I won't. All jokes aside, don't you sometimes feel like that? I know that I do. And here's the wonderful encouragement from our passage this morning. The cost of following Jesus is always worth it, friends. And not because of how many seats we fill in the church or how many people we recruit to our rosters or even how many people are saved in this church. No, as good as those things are, those are not the things that determine whether it's worth the cost. Jesus is the one who paid the ultimate cost for your sins. And that alone is reason enough to pay a cost to serve him. As we finish this morning, I want to return to the story of Bill Borden. You know, this is the man who gave up his life to become a missionary in China, even though he never made it, and he died in Egypt. You know, after he died, his family were rummaging through his possessions, and they found his old Bible. And they opened his Bible, and they could see that Bill Borden used to write notes in the margins of the page. And apparently they were able to decipher that one of these notes was written when he was on his deathbed in Egypt. In other words, he wrote this note knowing full well that he was just about to die, knowing full well that he would never make it to China. Do you know what the note said? It was just two simple words. No regrets. No regrets. A few years after his life, a biography was written about his life, which you can see behind me. And the author gave it this title, Borden of Yale, The Life and Legacy of William Borden. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. Folks, those two words are the perfect summary of our passage in John 12, aren't they? William Borden had no regrets for the price that he paid to follow Jesus. Neither did Mary of Bethany, I think. And so in response, let's go serve Jesus, church. Let's go serve him lovingly, humbly, extravagantly. Let's go serve him so that it costs us something. And remember that when all is said and done, it will have absolutely been worth it. And we will have no regrets. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for your marvelous word. Thank you for how it speaks to us and how it's alive and active. It's exciting, it's illuminating, and it's inherently practical. Father, thank you this morning for challenging us on this example of Mary's worship of you. Father, in light of this passage, help us to consider carefully the cost that we are willing to pay to worship you. Father, perhaps this morning we've been in the slow lane. We've been apathetic. We haven't been willing to pay a cost, and we've been serving you in ways that are convenient. Please forgive us. Please help us not ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Help us to serve you in ways that cost us something. Father, not because we have to, not because we get brownie points with you, but Father God, because we want to, because we love you, and because we adore you. And Father God, thank you so much for the encouragement that no matter what it costs us, no matter what we pay, it will always be worth it, because you have already paid the ultimate cost for us. In your name we pray. Amen.